Tonight, Los Angeles in flames. Apocalyptic scenes like something out of the movies. Multi-million dollar homes in Brentwood and Bel Air burned to the ground.
And now it's just gone. To watch it burn.
Forecasters warning the worst is yet to come. The Middle East bracing for a potential wave of violence after President Trump recognizes Jerusalem as the capital of Israel, a controversial move upending decades of U.S. policy condemned by leaders around the world. Will Al Franken resign? The senator set to make an announcement as new accusers come forward and dozens of Democratic senators say it's time for him to go. There's important health news tonight, what doctors have found about birth control and the risks of breast cancer. And a pair of best friends with a wish list that's inspiring America.
This is NBC Nightly News with Lester Holt.
Good evening and welcome to our viewers in the West, where we begin again tonight. It's gone from bad to worse in Southern California as a fifth major wildfire breaks out, this one in Los Angeles itself. The fire broke out early this morning near Brentwood, and fanned by strong winds, it quickly marched up hillsides along the infamous 405. Pre-dawn commuters forced to drive a virtual flaming gauntlet through the busy Sepulveda Pass. Several homes have been destroyed, and tonight that fire threatens still more homes in some of L.A.'s toniest neighborhoods. Tonight, thousands across the region remain displaced by fires as a red flag warning for windy and dry conditions is expected to be in place through tomorrow. Our national correspondent Miguel Almaguer is on the fire lines for us. Miguel, good evening.
Lester, good evening. This is the front lines. The family that lives in the home behind me had to escape here in the middle of the night. Now when they return, this is what they'll come home to. I want to give you a view from our second camera. You can see smoke and flames are still on the move across Bel Air. Wind speeds tomorrow could hit 70 miles an hour. Some 15,000 homes are in the path of fire.
This is a lot of expensive homes over here.
For the Ellis family, the morning commute looked like a drive into hell.
Ooh, I can feel the heat.
One of the nation's busiest freeways, the 405, flanked by fire, shut down for hours as parts of Bel Air, home to celebrities and mansions, went up in flames.
This whole place is on fire. My next door neighbor's on fire. This one lost their house.
Bianca Cave watched helplessly as her neighbor's home burned to the ground.
How intense were the flames?
It was a firewall. I can't even tell you how high. All I saw was orange.
Right in the center, you can see that there are, in fact, two single-family homes there, completely surrounded.
With the air attack protecting the famed Getty Center, hundreds of firefighters on the ground scrambled door to door.
Oh, there it goes.
Saving dozens of homes. From the hills in Los Angeles to the beaches near Santa Barbara, 200,000 people forced to flee the flames. Santa Ana winds reaching 70 miles an hour are driving five major fires.
It's not just the wind fanning these flames. The conditions out here are incredibly dry. Southern California hasn't seen significant rain. These are summer-like conditions.
Hundreds of homes are gone. The tally will grow, but the toll can't get any higher for Robert Fastenow.
That was our house, so it's pretty much gone.
Exploding in just moments, these fires are taking lifetimes of memories. Miguel Almaguer, NBC News, Bel Air.
I'm Kristen Dahlgren. This is the first thing I saw when I arrived in Southern California. A thick haze filling the skies. Everything stinks like a campfire. Smoke so dense, you can see it from space.
Oh, it's horrible. It's hard to breathe. So I want to take the kids out of the house.
So dangerous that people are lining up for face masks. Air quality warnings are in effect over several counties. Residents cautioned to stay inside. Sports teams canceled games, and more than 200 schools are closed.
So we're really worried about our students, and we're worried about our staff, and we just want to make sure that everybody's safe.
So we're miles away from any fire, but take a look at this normally blue pool now filled with soot, and it's all of this particulate that people in this area are now breathing. Particulate that could contain toxic chemicals.
It's like smoking cigarettes. It's more particulates going in your lungs, which is never a good thing.
Here's what it looks like as KNBC TV's chopper comes in for a landing.
You can't even see the airport.
a city known for its sunshine, now facing blackout conditions. And bracing for the next 24 hours when winds and air quality could get even worse. Kristen Dahlgren, NBC News, Los Angeles.
Now to the historic move today by President Trump and the impact felt around the world. The president announcing the U.S. now formally recognizes Jerusalem as the capital of Israel and will eventually move its embassy there. The decision sparking protests in the Middle East. The region now braced for a potential eruption of violence. We've got it all covered, starting with NBC News Chief White House Correspondent Hallie Jackson. Hallie, good evening.
Good evening, Lester. The president here is making a risky bet that doing something different will eventually end up productive for peace talks. But he's about the only one making that bet. This decision, which is not likely to be undone by future presidents, is one of the most controversial and potentially consequential of his administration.
Of the past. All challenges demand new approaches.
7 decades of U.S. policy changed in an instant.
Today, we finally acknowledge the obvious, that Jerusalem is Israel's capital.
President Trump will also move the U.S. embassy to Jerusalem, which could take 3 or 4 years, and which puts the U.S. on an island. Every other country, more than 80 of them with an embassy in Israel, has theirs in Tel Aviv.
While previous presidents have made this a major campaign promise, they failed to deliver. Today, I am delivering.
There are reasons those other presidents changed their views, like widespread consensus and United Nations policy that the fate of Jerusalem should be one of the last decisions negotiated between Israelis and Palestinians. But this president made a promise.
We will move the American embassy.
And he wants to make good on it. Domestic politics at play here, like a legal deadline and pressure from evangelical supporters. Leaving a little wiggle room, the president is not taking a position on the controversial question of whether or how Jerusalem should be divided. And he says he is not ending U.S. support for a two-state solution. But in reality, experts say, any solution looks exponentially more difficult now.
By giving this unilateral concession to the Israelis today and getting nothing for it, the president has weakened the American position, made it less likely that we'll get progress from the Israelis at the negotiating table.
As one of the world's most diplomatically difficult disputes now gets even more complicated. Hallie Jackson, NBC News, the White House.
I'm Richard Engel. The Middle East is on edge tonight with growing protests from Palestinians who say President Trump just stole their claim to Jerusalem and gave it to Israel. They watched the speech hanging on every word.
When I heard that, I felt he is insulting our intelligence.
It's now been 2 hours since President Trump gave his speech, and already small but angry demonstrations are gathering here in the West Bank city of Ramallah. These people are calling for more Palestinians to come out onto the streets to protest.
Tomorrow, they've called for a day of rage. But just 12 miles away in Israel tonight, a different reality.
It's obvious and important to say that Jerusalem was and is and will stay our capital.
They got a gift, recognition from the U.S. of their historic claim.
President Trump, thank you for today's historic decision.
But it seems the Israelis and President Trump are largely alone in supporting this move. Turkey said it crossed a red line that could plunge the Middle East into violence, with France, China, the Pope, and NATO all expressing concern. Why? Because President Trump just threw out the old rulebook that had been maintaining a semblance of order in the Middle East. The problem is Jerusalem is divided. West Jerusalem is mainly Jewish, while East Jerusalem is predominantly Palestinian. It contains the city's 3 main holy sites, sacred to Jews, Muslims, and Christians. Palestinians want to make East Jerusalem their future capital. Israel, on the other hand, considers all of Jerusalem to be its capital. And tonight, Israelis shining the U.S. and Israeli flags on an East Jerusalem wall seem to have gotten what they wanted.
And Lester, tonight I am back in Jerusalem, and behind me is this city's famous Damascus Gate. Palestinians had hoped one day to make it part of their future capital. Now that seems a lot more difficult. Lester?
Richard Engel in Jerusalem tonight. Thank you. Another major story we're following tonight. Will Democratic Senator Al Franken resign? He's set to make an announcement tomorrow after more women came forward to accuse him of inappropriate sexual behavior. Now dozens of Democratic senators are calling for him to step down. We get the latest from our Capitol Hill correspondent, Casey Hunt.
tonight, a tidal wave of calls for Minnesota Democratic Senator Al Franken to resign.
We need to draw a line in the sand and say none of it is okay. None of it is acceptable.
A coordinated chorus of Democratic women senators, their male colleagues joining in, dozens in all.
It's wrong. He has admitted to it, and he should resign from the Senate.
Franken had been trying to hang on, the former SNL comedian calling for an ethics investigation and apologizing after radio host Leanne Tweeden accused him of forcibly kissing and groping her on a USO tour in 2006.
I am embarrassed. I feel ashamed.
Initially, Gillibrand and other Democrats said his apology and the investigation were good enough.
What do you think is the bar for somebody to have to resign their seat?
I don't know, Casey. People will make their own judgments.
But tonight, eight women have accused Franken of acting inappropriately. Today, a former Democratic aide telling Politico Franken tried to forcibly kiss her, saying it was his, quote, right as an entertainer. Franken saying in a statement, quote, this allegation is categorically not true, and the idea that I would claim this as my right as an entertainer is preposterous. But for Gillibrand, it was too much.
There were new allegations today, and enough is enough.
Franken now planning a Thursday morning announcement. Fellow Minnesota Senator Amy Klobuchar writing on Twitter, quote, I am confident he will make the right decision. Casey Hunt, NBC News, the Capitol.
Senator Franken, just one of a flood of powerful men accused of sexual misconduct or harassment by a wave of women speaking up and speaking out, a group that Time magazine is calling the silence breakers of the Me Too movement, declared the person of the year. Ashley Judd among those on the cover, and NBC's Cynthia McFadden spoke with Judd about this watershed moment.
We can't all be sluts. We can't all be asking for it.
I am here to give you permission to be angry.
Time magazine has put the Silence Breakers on the cover as its 2017 Person of the Year, the women who unleashed a national reckoning about sexual harassment and assault.
Were we supposed to call some fantasy attorney general of moviedom?
Among them, Ashley Judd, who we spoke to today.
I think our country is different. I think that things will be different going forward. It's going to be a process. It may be messy and at times a little unruly. It won't please everybody.
Time says Judd, who was one of the first to publicly accuse Harvey Weinstein, helped launch a movement, beginning one of the highest velocity shifts in our culture since the 1960s. A growing list of public figures have been brought down over charges of sexual harassment and, in some cases, assault. Not all the men are famous, but the stories their accusers tell are eerily similar.
I was tired of wondering if it was something I wore. I was tired of wondering if it was a vibe I was giving off.
Sexual harassment is nothing new, but the cultural logjam seemed to burst after the Weinstein accusers came forward in the fall.
I want women who haven't had the opportunity yet to speak up for a variety of reasons to know that we have your back.
In the wake of Weinstein, women all over the world, emboldened by a social movement with the hashtag MeToo, have shared their stories.
The shame is not ours to hold. The shame is on the perpetrator. Me Too can be a conversation starter, or it can be the whole conversation.
A conversation loudly and passionately now taking place. Cynthia McFadden, NBC News, New York.
On Capitol Hill today, the president's son, Donald Trump Jr., behind closed doors being questioned in the Russia investigation. There's also a new report about Michael Flynn, what a whistleblower says Flynn was promising about Russia just minutes after President Trump was sworn in. NBC's Kristen Welker has those details.
Donald Trump Jr. on his way to Capitol Hill today and under a microscope amid new insight into his June Trump Tower meeting with a Kremlin-linked attorney, Natalia Veselnitskaya. Also in attendance, Jared Kushner and Paul Manafort. The Russian lawyer's 51 pages of written testimony to the Senate Judiciary Committee obtained by NBC News. In it, she says Trump Jr. was only looking for one thing at that meeting.
Donald Trump Jr. was at this meeting for one reason: to obtain incriminating information about Hillary Clinton. And once he realized she didn't have it, he lost interest.
Congressional investigators say Trump Jr. spoke to his father and attorneys a day after the meeting became public.
He acknowledged discussing that matter with his father,
but refused to answer questions about that discussion on the basis of a claim of attorney-client privilege.
And tonight, new signs at least one incoming member of the Trump administration was discussing easing Russian sanctions, according to a new whistleblower account detailed in a letter from the top Democrat on the House Oversight Committee. President Trump was just 11 minutes into his presidency when his former National Security Advisor Michael Flynn texted a former business partner to say a U.S. collaboration with Russia to build nuclear reactors in the Middle East was good to go, and that any new sanctions that could block the nuclear project would be ripped up once Trump was in the Oval Office. Kristen Welker, NBC News, the White House.
There's a lot more to tell you about tonight. Still ahead, birth control and breast cancer, the new warning about the link between them. Also, Inspiring America, two best friends and their emotional mission. Hope you can stay with us. We're back now with important health news for the millions of women who take birth control pills in the U.S. A new study finds these pills could increase the risk for the most common cancer in women, breast cancer. Researchers say it's a new cause for concern and something women need to discuss with their doctors. NBC News medical correspondent Dr. John Torres has the details.
Doctors had hoped new forms of birth control using fewer hormones might be safer, but tonight's study reports they still increase a woman's risk of breast cancer. A study in the New England Journal of Medicine following nearly 2 million women found their breast cancer risk jumped 20%. After 10 years, that risk grew to 38%, a special concern for women in their 40s since their risk of breast cancer is already greater than a younger woman's. This increase may seem like a lot, but overall, the risk of developing breast cancer is still relatively low. Obesity raises your odds more than birth control.
Millions of women are on hormonal contraceptives. It just means that each person really needs to look critically at their reasons for taking it.
The study also found it's not just pills that increase cancer risk, but any contraception that uses hormones, including the vaginal ring, certain IUDs, and the patch. Other options for birth control without hormones include condoms, diaphragms, and one type of IUD.
I don't think that any woman should panic.
Doctors say the study does not mean women should automatically stop taking birth control, especially those taking it for other medical conditions.
And Lester, women should discuss the pros and cons of hormonal birth control with their doctor because it is one more risk factor for breast cancer, along with others, family history, obesity, smoking, and age.
Important conversation to have.
You bet.
John, thanks. Coming up, still waiting on presents he ordered on Cyber Monday, the warning from the UPS. An awfully scary scene today near a commuter airport in St. Louis after a small plane crashed into the parking lot of a gas station. Witnesses say they didn't hear any engine noise as that plane fell out of the sky, clipping a canopy over the pumps and slamming into the ground, killing the pilot. A woman at the gas pump was injured, though not seriously. There were no other passengers on board that airplane. In the war among tech giants, Google is blocking YouTube on Amazon devices, including the Echo Show and Fire TV, after Amazon stopped selling Google's Nest smart home products. You with me still? But in a rare moment of playing nice, Amazon Prime Video is finally available on Apple TV. You may have to go back in the DVR to get all that. UPS warns packages are arriving a day or two late due to a backlog from this year's record Cyber Monday sales, but the company aims to get back on track by day's end. Up next, lifelong best friends going viral with a wish list that's inspiring America. Finally tonight, best friends forever. Two lifelong buddies going viral on an emotional mission and proving that no matter what obstacles life puts in your way, it's better to face them with a friend by your side. NBC's Joe Fryer has tonight's Inspiring America report.
You ready to break these?
With all due respect to rock stars, Chris Betancourt and Dylan Hill just might set the bar when it comes to this. Smashing a guitar, task number 24 on Chris's bucket list.
I didn't realize how satisfying that was going to be.
This 20-year-old might seem too young for such a list, but in September, Chris learned the chronic myeloid leukemia that has plagued him since fifth grade was spreading rapidly. Without a bone marrow transplant, he may only live a year.
I cried for a bit the first few days. It's hard to deal with.
Last month, my best friend called me and told me he was dying.
That's when Dylan, his best friend since childhood, suggested they tackle a bucket list of goals together.
He said he's afraid of not being able to experience the things he wants to in life.
They call it One List, One Life. Among their dozens of wishes, lift weights with The Rock, visit Japan, go to space. But you'll also find down-to-earth ambitions like giving food to the homeless.
I'm living my life the way life should be lived, and that's having fun and just experiencing as much things as you can with as many people as possible.
Online, they're documenting the journey with videos, and maybe all this exposure will lead to a donor. Dylan is even leaving college to focus on his buddy.
He's already inspired me, and...
A friendship built upon unwavering loyalty. Now that is something few of us will ever cross off our list. Joe Fryer, NBC News, Citrus Heights, California.
A very special friendship. We appreciate you spending part of your evening with us. That is Nightly News for this Wednesday night. I'm Lester Holt. For all of us at NBC News, thanks for watching and good night.